if you really want to get into talking about USB protocols, we can spend another 20 minutes talking about that, but nobody wants to talk about USB communication protocols.
That's fine. My questions are answered.
We don't want to go near you.
You've got to be in the value.
Actually, I kind of like drawing you away. That way, if anybody walks by,
actually,
they don't see that you're...
let me do something.
I dig.
You're hanging out.
It actually works out to our benefit.
Sure. Are we recording?
Yes. And I just changed the levels.
Always
in the middle of the recording.
You fucking
Hi, everybody.
Man.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Kendrick.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Kevin.
Kevin's over here.
So, Kevin was mentioning that the fact that our only listener is now... member of the podcast.
Yeah, I don't listen as much anymore.
He's not our only listener anymore because he's not a listener.
That's true. So let's talk about this pistol grip sword that you've
got. I'm trying to find a picture of it.
So would you like to tell a story to us, Kevin, about
Kevin,
your parents
sure.
and their proclivities?
Their shenanigans.
So my parents own a whole shitload of storage units. And
Do you own the storage unit after you buy it, or are you just paying to clean it out?
No, they own them, and then what
they
happens
own the
is
whole block.
They own the building, and people pay them rent to rent the storage units. Yeah,
so they're the owners of a storage place, not just like going to auctions.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
They own the entire thing.
So instead of auctioning them off, they just keep the shit.
Yeah, there's not a huge auction market down in South Fork, Colorado.
Are you sure? Could do an episode of, what is it, Storage Wars?
Yeah.
Hosted by Kevin's
Yeah.
So they, when people don't pay, they just cut the lock and try to get stuff out of there so they can get money back, but... They found one that it had a whole bunch of random stuff in it, way different than the usual storage unit crap. I think someone cleaned out a little store up on the hill, going up the pass. So it was like a little general store, and they cleaned everything out. Well,
they bought everything and put it in a storage.
Well, I think the store closed, and they're like, we got to put this crap somewhere.
Got it.
And they put it in storage and stopped paying their bills.
Yes.
Basically. Garbage disposal.
Yeah. So they. They happen to have a bunch of other random things. There was those packing plates for kids they sleep in. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
It was like full of swords, like
just
random
a pack and play of swords.
Yeah,
did you get all of this?
That's
swords.
Fucking awesome.
No, he wants to try and sell them because that's the type of stuff at yard sales that people will buy.
People will buy that, especially if you didn't have to pay for it.
But I did pick up a few. I picked up like a fake samurai sword I want to put on the wall, and then this.
And wait, so the other one you got was like this kind of crazy regular machete that was like just a solid piece of steel that was like wrapped with some parachute cord.
Yeah. It was like a. It's
that's
just
not the
like
one you got, right?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to pull it up, but the Wi-Fi just died, and I have no cell phone reception inside this Faraday cage that was working.
Oh.
And I tried to connect to the Wi-Fi, and it's
I
like.
I actually have a question about that, but we'll come back to that.
Okay.
So I handed one to Kendrick just not 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. So
it's. It's like a blade, and it's got a...
There will be a picture.
A grip. It's got like a pistol grip hat in the middle. And then on the very end of it, there's like a strap that goes around your arm.
What?
And you hold the grip, and it straps onto your arm, and then the blade like sticks out like that.
What mall ninja shit is
mall
that?
Ninja.
I told you, it's mall ninja. I told
yeah,
you.
So
the katana seemed like it was actually like sharpened, but it wasn't sharpened with like...
proper traditional
by making it sharp
sharpened
by like a knife sharpener that you like drag along.
I mean that's not the only that is a way you sharpen it, but not this was not sharpened well. This is like if I tried to sharpen
mm-hmm. That's like what I was trying to imply. Like
it was like they tried to do it
well.
In a traditional way, but they didn't know how, so they just got like a stone and started running it
down. Not
the
a proper whetstone.
They had
like
one in their kitchen for their kitchen knives, and they're like,
I don't
technically
looking at one of them. I don't think it's that. I think it's just a rock they found, and they're just like, this does the thing.
Yeah, so I handed it to Kendrick. And
this
gonna,
is how they
did
it
play
in
with
the olden
it.
Days.
Break
yeah.
it, destroy
oh
it, God. Laugh at it.
I wanted
whatever
to see
you
if you could actually
cut
with it.
I bet you I can, but I bet you it kind
of
sucks.
It's like all different motions, though, right? When you have a sword with a pistol grip instead of like...
It's a little it'll
dude,
be different.
Yeah, the cutting angle on that
the
is
the curved
be
blade
strength.
In the end is probably going to be the main thing. But I may not be able to cut through something thick, because the problem is you can't get a good draw when it's attached to your forearm. You're basically just clubbing people.
Yeah, you'd be like,
yeah.
You'll stab yourself.
Yeah, there's kind of a reason you don't see any other cut-edged weapons with a 90-degree handle. Like, there's a legitimate reason you don't see that.
And maybe
it's
not a whole body sword. You have to, like, spin. It's like a spinning saber.
Yeah, you
well,
have
I mean,
to
it'll, I could fuck
body.
Somebody up, but oh, getting a clean cut is going to be the hard part. That's one of the reasons
you
almost always...
Fuck somebody up with a Kleenex box.
Yeah, you almost always see the grip in line with the edge because you need to pull. And if I have that, I have to, like... It doesn't, like... I can't.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're dancing around spinning, you don't have to use, like,
now,
use your arm. You just
having
use
said that,
ability to.
If I just hit you with it, you'll really not enjoy that.
Or I'd probably die.
You do the forward motion like you're punching.
You can
them,
stab
him.
It's definitely a stabber.
It's a stabbing
it's a stabber.
You get like a lot of leverage.
I wish I had taken a picture of that serial number because I'm not seeing it on here. I'm seeing every other Mole Ninja thing from Buck
So, K. You guys, speaking of like, so there's the auction
market. Just real quick. What is a Faraday cage? I keep hearing the term.
Who wants to explain Faraday cage?
I don't know that I can explain it the right way, but I know the meaning of it. It's like a thing that blocks like electrical signals, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Radio signals.
So if you're in like a metal box, it can't get the signals very well.
Okay.
They build cages.
I've been riding the SCP train again, and that keeps coming up in a couple of the protection parameters. I'm like, I should look up what that is, and then I get distracted and do something else.
I'm not laughing at you, I just saw this.
I have one of those. Yeah. Put it, the handle is a dragon.
Yeah, it's probably even also, more useless.
That's mostly what was in this storage unit. Just like
that
random.
Kind of shit. People will buy that shit. That's just crazy. So that'll definitely sell at a garage sale. Some 17-year-old's going to be fucking stoked.
Oh, yeah.
He let me take a couple of them just because I was there. And,
but, you want some crap?
Yeah, exactly.
Doing some cool looking shit.
No, so a Faraday cage. All right, I'm going to find that later.
Yeah.
We'll just take a picture of the one we have.
Yeah, there you go.
A Faraday cage is, and I don't remember what Faraday did to invent one or discover one, but essentially, any radio waves are self-propagating electromagnetic waves, meaning the particles in the air have a charge and they're bumping into each other, essentially, and it's propagating through like a Newton's cradle, right? But instead of physically bumping into each other, there's an electromagnetic charge that's oscillating between being an electrical charge and a magnetic charge. So that's what's electromagnetic, like that's the radio wave, right, is propagating through that. Now, certain media transmits better than certain other media. Like if you want to transmit radio wave, air is a very fantastic medium to transmit through, which is one of the reasons you want to have cell towers and stuff up high.
Right.
But things like metal and rock are not very good. Partially, I think it just absorbs, like it absorbs the radiation into it instead of propagating it right through.
Okay.
Without getting into the details of the physics here, which is beyond my ken, suffice to say, certain wavelength
beyond my kin. Who the fuck says that?
Actually, I say that too.
It's a Scottish, what does that mean?
It means that
I don't know it.
Ken means no.
Like yeah, but Kenny. Like, why would you use that? Like when you're trying
because
to talk to
you,
normal
cool.
humans.
Because he's talking
beyond
to
my,
me.
Beyond my kin is an English. Like it isn't a thing that's in regular English, but it is. It's a Scots English.
We do speak very different versions of regular English.
You do not speak English.
You don't
speak.
Kevin doesn't use it.
You specifically said you don't speak English.
Kevin doesn't
use it. Speak on this.
Kevin doesn't use it. Only 50% of the people in this room knew what you meant. Well, that's not true. Only 50% of the room, room was pretentious enough to use Kent.
Kevin, did you figure it out from context clues?
I figured it out, too.
Okay, then we're good.
Also, most of my communication is good, then, because you can figure it out with context clues.
No, because I need to really work at it most times.
I downloaded Duolingo.
Yeah.
I'm working on the Gaelic one, but
it's
got to be
Gaelic
hard.
Yeah,
hard.
It's ridiculous.
So Faraday cage, the wavelengths as they propagate, confusingly, don't just propagate in one direction, but there is actually a lateral motion to them as they move across, and which I still am a little unclear on the geometry of that one, to be completely honest. But so the trick is with a Faraday cage is when you make metal, like if you just put a metal box around something, the radio waves can't propagate out, which is to say, most radio waves aren't powerful enough to propagate out because everything that we own and use in this country.
And it depends on the wavelength, too, right?
Like, well, yeah, that's it. So everything that we own and use in this country is regulated by the FCC,
right.
For better or for worse, in this case.
So you can't, like, accidentally shoot electromagnetic lasers at planes and shit
like that. Well, yeah, because essentially.
On the craziest level.
You have to get certified, and if you ever see there's little indications and stuff when they're saying it, certified that it won't cause harmful radiation, and that means interference in other systems.
Right.
What that means is that your thing isn't powerful enough to disrupt the functionality of something else by basically being an EM bomb.
It's like the same reason. It's like because of this is the reason you can have use a cell phone in a hospital without in most cases
without it interfering
destroying someone's life support system or something.
Gotcha,
like that.
Gotcha.
Or two cell phones, one of them melts the other one, right?
Yeah.
Or two of them next to your head.
Yeah, that's right. The battery just explodes next to your face.
No, there are certain items that break or aren't necessarily covered under that. So there's certain power tools you can use that will make your FM radio go out. Because that's not considered harmful. It just causes such, an electric motor of a certain amount of power is throwing all kinds of excess radiation out on many spectra.
Right.
So it can still interfere with FM radio on a short range.
That's cool.
Now, so the other thing to remember is that signals degrade at inverse square. So, X amount of distance, it's going to be the square root of X, roughly. is the amount of power left versus right at it, which is one of the reasons cell phones are not, where people are worried about cell phones, because that cell phone signal has to make it to the antenna, the receiver, but those receivers are very sensitive, so they can handle what's a relatively small amount of power coming out of this device. Likewise, the antennas on there are blasting super high power, but it's attenuated so much by all the shit in the way and the distance that it's not going to melt your brains. With that all in mind, a Faraday cage is something that can block most, especially consumer-level technologies, and shield them from those commonly available radio frequencies. So if you built just a sheet metal box, that would work really well, but it also is expensive and hard to breathe in. So what they've done is you can make a mesh of varying sizes that is sufficient to block the actual wavelengths. If you ever look at the front of your microwave that has the perf plate, those perforations are smaller than the size of the wave, so the waves can't escape through that hole.
And it's not that's talking about 100%. It's like majority.
Yeah, it's about
it's all about like
percentages. Well, yeah, but right? That's kind of weird to think about, because when you think about stuff on this, you think of it on like a microscopic level. Yeah. This becomes that actually kind
this
of...
This is like electron level. This is like the electrons flipping back and forth.
But confusingly, the wavelengths are quite large.
Right,
like
right.
One of the reasons certain lower frequencies work in certain other things is because they literally go up and down around shit. Whereas the smaller ones can't get through it, right? So like a microwave, as it's micro in that it's sub-millimeter, whatever it is, or sub-centimeter, like there's certain terminologies for that.
Yeah.
But then if you look at some of the other ones, the wavelength can be large enough where it gets intercepted by various things. So if it's a big enough wavelength and you have, say, you know, a foot gap between your metal pieces, most of the waves will bump into one of those metal things and terminate into it, and you'll lose signal there. That's why steel frame buildings are tricky to work in, because in the dead center, you've effectively got, just from the occlusion pattern, like if you draw a straight line out towards anywhere you want to go, there's metal in the way.
Right, right.
And so unless the wavelengths are low frequency, so big wavelength, they can't get around or bounce through those spaces, they get caught up. Or if they're small enough, they can go through them. So like there's these targeted spaces you can go for.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
So that's the
basically
concept.
Just means that you're like protected from most, like, because like you can use a Faraday cage to prevent yourself from getting shocked too. Like,
yes. So that's the original use of a Faraday cage. Now I remember.
Was like it? Yeah, it prevents
the dynamos
from the static electricity.
Yeah, if you've ever seen some of the early stuff with
it's
Tesla,
like a huge sci-fi trope to do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like the Tesla, like the big early Tesla experiments, where he had like the big dynamos with the spark shooting off of them.
Yeah.
And he was the one sitting there reading a book. Well, he was in a spot where the signal was attenuated enough. But if you wanted to be sane, you'd put a Faraday cage around you, which is where there's metal that's grounded, so no electricity is going to come into you. It's a shorter distance to ground out on
path
that.
Of least resistance.
And electricity and electromagnetics are very closely related in that sense.
Okay.
Because electricity is basically just super high, super small wavelength electrical.
It's
a plasma.
It's confusing because like there's that whole like light is a big deal here, because you have like I don't remember all of it, but basically light is electrons and waves at the same time.
Light is
like
an electromagnetic wave. It's another kind of radio wave.
So like it all is based off of those kinds of principles. Like all waves are these kinds of interesting things, but I don't know. I don't remember enough about
that's
it.
That's super fun.
So that's essentially the concept. So when you talk about a modern Faraday cage, people talk about that as like ways to protect your cell phone from an EM pulse. You put it in a Faraday cage, or you're just locking it in a metal box.
Yeah.
Likewise, if you wanted to stop someone from tracking you with 100% some, like surety, you can put it in a lead-lined or just steel box, and likely most of the signals would be completely attenuated. Not all, necessarily. There could still be some that could get to it, but it's unlikely that your consumer-grade technology can put out enough power to overcome that signal.
Gotcha.
It's even more confusing when you realize that they bounce.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like... You got all these wavelengths bouncing all over the place. Yeah. It's like watching water when you like splash in three different places, watching all the waves interact.
Especially in a square box, because you do that and then the edges become square as it bounces in the corner.
Yeah,
right?
Because it's like...
So another thing to note, this is also you should never run a microwave with nothing in it or with nothing non-metallic in it, because the waves will continue to bounce back and forth and build up a standing wave where they continue to amplify each other as they go, and then it'll explode. Well, it won't explode. It'll burn out your microwave emitter, which will make your microwave...
Yeah, it won't
No, it won't make yourself... No.
It won't, like... It's
you
can
set your house on fire with the microwave.
It's not going to born identity it, but...
No. That was a toaster oven, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was a toaster oven. He jammed a magazine in the toaster oven and broke the gas line, which is a badass way to burn a building down.
Yeah, that is
a
great record.
No, if you wanted to use a microwave for that, you'd probably be best off utilizing the break it open and short the high voltage transformer. Because there's a transformer in a microwave that's powerful enough to spot weld. Ooh. Like with the minor modifications.
Cool.
Because to transmit the amount of the power necessary to microwave food, you need crazy high voltage and not too low amperage. So like a taser, super high voltage, super low amperage. Right?
Yeah.
Not a lot of juice, but the juice is moving fast. And that's what allows it to go through your heart and shock you real good. If the amperage was higher, because I think it's in the milliamps.
Oh, dude, I know nothing about amperage versus voltage. This is a part of physics I was never able to comprehend.
So basically, high voltage is what makes electricity arc through the air. If voltage is low and you have two nodes, like an anode and a cathode, they won't short until you touch them, right? Because the resistance is too high.
Yeah, yeah.
If the voltage is high enough, it'll overcome the resistance. It does that,
arc too.
And it arcs, and what we experience is plasma, as the our electricity is powerful enough to convert the gas to a superheated, or super excited state. I shouldn't say heated, but super excited state where it moves to plasma, and that's what we're seeing, that the arc of electricity,
right,
my little
right.
pocket lighter mm-hmm. thing I have, right? But that's super-duper high voltage. And then the amperage is basically how much energy is moving. And so when you have the tasers that like arc and they're scary, you can shock people and they go, oh. Or they fall down,
yeah.
And you have like milliamps. That's, you know, less than the power coming out of a battery, right? Like a phone battery is what I'm tapping my phone
gotcha.
Here. Those are milliamps. If you crank that up to, I think it's 1 or 2 amps, you can stop somebody's heart. If you were to do, so a wall outlet, most of these are, so, and it's also confusing because electricity isn't necessarily amps. Amps are more like a limiting factor.
Yeah.
Because you can move up to that level of amps based off resistance, and that's where it gets confusing. But suffice to say, your wall mount is low, relatively low voltage, 110 to 120 for Americans, but the amperage of the circuit breakers and the fuses on the back end are either 15 to 30, depending on most residential things, probably a little higher for a corporate or industrial. And that means the amount of energy that will go through it before it breaks, the circuit breaker trips it and stops it from
it's
exploding.
It's probably enough to kill you.
It is absolutely enough to kill you.
Wow. That's why you don't jam forks into the...
Yeah. Like, so
you don't
the voltage is low, but the amperage is high. And that means, well, high. The transmission lines use crazy high both because they need to just ship that electricity around. So like most electricians that I hear about from the guys who used to work for the power company who went to see my dad, they talk about how like, yeah, they'll, whatever, 120 with 20 amps, that's not a big deal. But they're talking about transmission lines that are in the megavolts or kilovolt range with hundreds and hundreds of amps going through it. Like you hear them buzzing because of the amount of energy that's happening, and then if there's something off at all, you get that 60 hertz buzz. But so with a microwave, what they do is they take it and they take the 15-20 amps whenever you get out of the wall at 120 volts, and you use a bunch of windings around a magnet to convert that from high amperage low
which
voltage,
which is a transformer if I recall correctly.
That's a transformer, yeah. So you're transforming it from a high amperage low voltage to
there's no robots, but that would be cool.
High voltage rock and roll.
Cool.
High voltage.
Sweet.
No, because that high voltage was necessary to agitate the particles enough to actually make them.
If you
want to
learn a lot about
microwave.
This, listen to that boom scientist guy on YouTube. The guy has all the gifts of him shocking the shit out of himself.
Yes, yeah.
He actually is really smart. Yep. And like the things he builds are really cool because like he's like, oh, I need a transformer, but I don't have any. So I'm just going to wrap this wire around this copper and then like voltage it. And then it changes the voltage, or he uses the high amps to go to low amps. It's like really interesting to watch. It's like... it's consumable by people that are normal instead of like
talking to someone
like Kendrick or Aaron about it. it makes sense. It's just like
I'm very hand weaving.
You're very able to convey it in a way that I can understand it without getting into the advanced.
Something to think about is that there's a similar transformer system built into your wall warts for all of your AC/DC converters to charge electronics because they need to change the voltage as well. That's why they're a little heavy. It's because somewhere in there, there's copper wound around some magnetic core to make it plug in.
That's one of the reasons
you can never get one that's super lightweight because you need to convert those voltages.
And that's why you can like blow up a phone with like a switch charger if you're not careful.
Right.
Because like the voltage and amperage is different. I think it's actually amperage that's different on those.
Yes.
So like you're talking about like 5 amp charger for a switch, and you like usually use like 1.3 for phones.
They're catching up, but the original one was 1.
But like a tablet will use like 3 to 5,
yeah.
I think. And so like you got to be careful because you either not charge your switch,
yep.
which isn't really bad for it, but
it just slowly charges,
or you'll slowly kill your phone because
depending on if the phone, if the phone, because when they do that, they negotiate, they talk to each other. There is a communication before it opens those relays and blasts all the electricity down.
So it's like really important why you wouldn't want to get like, well, so if an you off-brand. Had yeah, off brand. That's what I was going to say.
Because it might not properly handle the communication. It just opens the gates and junks a bunch of voltage out or an amperage out and divides the other end.
Which is why switch cradles, third party switch cradles tend to break switches because I think they're trying to do like. Like we just crank it up to 8 amps and not have like the right kind of regulation across the charging port, and like it'll like fry your switch.
If you really want to get into talking about USB protocols, we can spend another 20 minutes talking about that. But nobody wants to talk about USB communication protocols.
That's fine. My questions are answered.
Final note on this, just because I think it's hilarious. If you remember the aerofoil, I think it was called, that we talked about, that uses the floating balsa wood experiment I send every couple years to people.
Yeah, yeah.
That uses a thin wire and then a length of foil underneath it. And what it does is it ionizes the air between there, not to plasma, but just to the point where it excites them and makes them shoot net down. It creates force, and it creates a force vector thrust. On one direction. And the amount of thrust it generates is actually the most efficient conversion from electricity to thrust that we have in the whole world right now. With the only downside is that it requires kilovolts of, or megavolts of voltage, but it does it with milliamps. So it uses a tiny, tiny, tiny amount of electricity going super hella fast to lift this thing up. And if you ever watch those experiments, they have a little balsa wood thing that's like floating. It's really cool. Then next to it is a transformer that's like a cubic meter of all of the coils necessary to get that sucker up to megavolts.
Yeah.
Didn't those MIT guys make an airplane thrusted by
they
that?
Did. Like they a did. Small, yep. Like last, just last year or 2 years ago now.
Oh, you sent that video too.
Yep. Yep. They made a tiny made one because they had a shitload of tiny batteries in parallel. Which allows you to up the voltage as you go across the line.
And that's where that's where electronics gets really confusing, because you're talking about like parallel versus what serial circuits, and like
you see that one where the guy hooked up all the 9 volts and then caused it to use it to weld.
Yes, same thing.
And that's the kind of shit you can do. Like when they talk about the like the easiest experiment you can do is you drop the ring down a tube of copper and you can see it it goes. But then, like, something outside the copper drops normally.
Yep.
Like, that's all, like, magnetic field stuff that's created from these, like, electrical fields that are generated when you have certain shapes. And that's the transformers, kind of. Like, in the middle of a transformer, there's, like, a electromagnetic field that interacts with other things. So.
It amplifies it. So that's why you have the winding.
Each
one goes around, it accelerates all the other ones, and then until eventually it goes up to a higher speed.
God, that's
quote unquote,
cool.
For voltage, it's using the same
speed. It's insane. It's quite insane.
I'm learning so much today.
How
I love
little,
this.
Like, and you don't even have to have, like, it's not like you have to have kind of special kind of copper or anything. You just have copper and wrap it around a tube.
Yep.
You get a PVC, wrap copper around it a bunch of times, and then drop like one of those key rings down it, and it'll do the thing. It'll slow it down. I think that's how it works anyway.
Yeah, and if you actually hooked up a light bulb to that, you'd see a faint illumination depending on how many windings you did.
Yeah.
When you're dropping the ring or just...
But when you drop it in there, because gravity is pulling it down. And as it passes through that, it's generating an electromagnetic field because it's meeting resistance from the wire.
It's not nothing to do with air. It's all electromagnetic.
There's no air resistance. It's as it's falling. Resistance is basically an electromagnetic field, which by
it's going
pushing through it, you're generating electricity, which would then light that up.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Ah, that's
so there you go. This is science with Sitsock.
Yay!
A new bit that nobody asked for.
I don't know. I think it's always fun to talk about it. But you're always the one that talks about it.
Because I'm
the
more comfortable shouting about it. Not everything I said hand waving. There's a lot of things I went over. Like I said, faster electricity is always the same speed, except when relativity gets involved. I mean, more power is confusing. A lot of it's more like wavelengths. Really confusing is AC power. The electrons don't actually go anywhere. They just wiggle back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Just a tiny little bit, like fractions, like, was it fractions of an inch? Not even that. It's like, the transmission is near instantaneous, but they just go, and even DC, the actual particles are moving at what would be a visible rate. They're like,
Well, that's what you look at, like, you can look at their readouts, right? And it's like the oscilloscopes will show, like,
But, like, the actual physical particles, the electron fields, are actually moving at a very slow rate for DC, for, like, phone batteries and stuff.
Right.
But the problem is, kind of like if you, Newton's cradle again, you push it, it instantaneously transmits to the other end, or at the speed of electricity, which is a third of the speed of light.
Because, like, this one translates to all the other ones in the line, but that happens moving, so fast.
They're slow. They're all moving slow. It's like, but just at the same time.
It's like dominoes, but with that, they never fall, but they're all moving slowly through the track. So if you touch one, it goes, and, like, goes to the end again. But
that's cool.
What's the other? I was going to say, piezo motors are another cool instance of, like, not electricity, but, like, kind of just the way that electrons work, and, like, they're...
Oh, like quartz crystals in general?
Yeah, like, yeah. Like how... I'm trying to remember how it works, because I remember there's, like, transmission electron microscopy uses this thing where, like, the motor actually moves over surfaces because, like, it's interacting with the surface's electrons, and it has, like, charge, so it's, like, mapping surfaces that are, like...
By kind of touching
by the electron
it, but
level,
not
but
touching not... It.
Yeah, by simply having the motor, like... change height based off of the charge difference.
Oh, that's so weird.
Piezo, I always say it wrong, but basically quartz crystals have a very interesting characteristics under electrical load. That's why they oscillate. That's how you have watch batteries. I'm holding up, and I don't think there's actually any quartz in this anymore, but electricity, they move at a fixed speed, but if you hit them, they generate electricity. Which is just, like,
really weird.
What?
Why?
Yeah, because just the chemical structure of them are such that physical energy into it causes electrons to get excited and fall out, and electrically exciting it causes it to physically vibrate.
And then you get into, like, then you get into the idea that you can only observe certain levels and the microscopic level, because observation changes what you see.
Yeah, bouncing photons off of it actually makes it behave.
No matter what you're doing, you're always going to be having electrons interacting with electrons. But, like, so if you get down to the level of seeing an electron, like, you're affecting it by looking at it.
Yeah,
a scanning electron microscope just shoots electrons at the surface, and then you capture the refraction. And so, like, when you're looking at, like, a scanning electron microscope that can measure things on, like, the, like, millimeters? It's not
micrometers.
It's like you see the reflection of the electrons. So you have a bunch of stuff that's capturing. You have, like, top-down views that are capturing just the directly focused ones, and then you have around views that are capturing all the scattering. So, like, you hit it and it scatters, and then you get an image. And that's, like, scanning electron microscopy. Transmission electron microscopy is even smaller, but if you try to go smaller than that, it's hard, because you're like, what do you use to observe electrons?
It's like you're trying to throw, you're trying to figure out the size of something that's, like, this big, but you're throwing beach balls at it.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, the beach ball came back
and
this
then
way or
this
that
is made
way,
of
so
beach balls, too, so then you hit a beach ball with another beach ball, and by the time you figure out what, like, you'd be like, okay, well, this beach ball landed here, that beach ball's now somewhere else, and so you don't get the right view.
More questions. Yeah. Cool.
All right, well, we've gone pretty much at time at this point, so.
Wow. That was great.
Thank you, everybody, for your half-hour science lesson.
Science talk.
Science
talk.
Sit science. Science.
Sit
talk. I'm so sorry, future Kendrick. This is going to be really boring to edit, so.
Well, yeah, because
hashtag
Kevin edited it. He didn't say anything the whole time.
He started it.
That's true. How did we go from, like, swords to
Faraday cage.
And then you got
a
fucking
answer. I was going to talk about Amazon return
answer.
Sales, too. We'll talk about that next time.
Yeah, let's do it next time.
And Patrick's movies.
Oh my god! I forgot
about
that.
Oh. Next time.
You were going to talk about that? I didn't realize we were going to talk about that.
Oh, because he saw it this weekend.
I finally got to see it.
We're done.
So happy.